okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, welcome back to Snacks and Giants. I'm Tom Alley. Just met over on the board. SP Futures up 28. Dow Futures up 279. NASDAQ Futures up 104. Same stacks up. We got Apple up again today. We've got more of the same. It's interesting that we have this going on, but we do. I guess it's good.
Up and away.
Yeah, we've got... I just... Last night, Frank, I was listening to... well, you and I were talking yesterday as we prepared for our Monday morning set to on the show.
You know, you're too sensitive.
It's all right. You know, it's okay. I mean, there has to be, you know, has to be people on the other side of everything, you know, and you know, that just happens to be you. What can I tell you, you know? So we're listening for Trump's big announcement on the new treatment for the coronavirus.
And you mean the 170,000 people already have had in the United States?
I'm going to say that there was an article that somebody, one of the listeners, sent me. I'm going to say it was April 1st, maybe, somewhere along those lines, where a doctor from Japan said that this particular treatment, which is essentially taking plasma from people that have already had it, and, well, you take blood, I'm sorry, and then what do? You just spin it down to get the red blood cells out of there? Is that the idea, Frank, or something?
Uh-huh.
And this has been going on for a long... They did this in 1919 for the old, for that particular pandemic, right? The one that killed like half the world.
It's tried and true.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the first things you try.
Anyway, you do this. What do you get enough?
And that we had a universal agreement on it, me included.
Yeah, and that was April. And now all of a sudden here we are in damn near September. Hey, we got this new treatment. We should try it. You got to be kidding me. I mean, it's like, I don't know. There's something, Buffalo Springfield was right. There's something happening here where it isn't exactly clear. Now, we've got seven people they've given money to for the various and sundry vaccines, which aren't really vaccines. And all of a sudden this morning we're pushing AstraZeneca to stop socks up. Did the son-in-law buy some last night? I mean, this is so crazy, Frank. If these people were out there to make themselves rich, they couldn't. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying, if you were going to do that, this is exactly how you'd do it, right? Is that a fair statement?
Oh, exactly how you would do it.
And if they don't, this is the age old question. I ask this Manny once in a while. Manny, now if it was no, he's your president, okay.
He's our president.
He's our president. I voted for Libertarian. Just saying. But no, he's our president. Which would you rather have? Him making these moves that could and should enrich anybody who knows what he's going to say. Because it empowers so many companies over another one. Would you rather have him making money on it and cheating, or would you rather have him oblivious as to what he's doing? Just asking. Which is worse?
It's the same, because if he's oblivious, who's ever telling him what to do is making money off of it. I mean, look what they got Bannon last week.
Yeah,
what a clown show that is.
What is Manny Weber's going to be a one percenter someday? I don't know if he's going to make all the money his wife might, but so when you get like $90 bazillion, Manny, are you going to feel like you have to cheat for the next dime or what?
I would never feel that way. No.
What happened?
And I don't get
Maddie it. Would never be that way.
Yeah, and I don't get people that are. I really don't.
So what do you suppose? What happens? Do you just get bigger than the law, or what is it?
You are the law. It doesn't apply to you. That's what amoral is. That's what a psychopath is. They all meet those definitions. Narcissistic. I mean,
But the same thing happened to...
Corey Lewandowski is the only manager of that campaign that hasn't been indicted of anything, and two have been convicted.
Well, who's the guy? God, I always forget the guy's name. The guy went to jail to bad toupee from Drexel Burnham. He's now all over the... What's his name?
Michael Milken.
Yeah, Michael Milken. Now, the guy comes in. I'm going to say the dude was brilliant. It had and essentially invented an entire other method for people to raise capital and for people to invest in up-and-coming companies. Much to the dismay of the Solomons, Goldman Sachs, and the dear-departed Solomons, Goldman Sachs, and Morgans, and the big banks at the time.
So the dear-departed Bear Stearns.
They weren't so big. Well, they weren't a massive... Well, back in our day, Frank, if you were going to go get a big... other guys got into the fray, but when you and I were young, if you were going to go out for a big, IPO or something, you can use one of those three: Goldman,
right.
Morgan, or Solomon. They were all as frumpy as you could get. And anyway, they didn't want any competition, so Michael Milken gave it to him. So instead of him minding his P's and Q's, as my mother would say, all of a sudden a year later, he's such a big hotshot that he has to go do some insider trading that he, of course, gets caught at. Or was set up for, or something.
I think everybody was doing insider trading. You know, all the big names were Ivan Boesky. I mean, they were a bunch of scumbags, again and again and again.
I think that it's more than that. I mean, I think there's always, let's put it this way, as Milton Friedman used to say, there is always information in the market. If you get out to the basic principles, if you get a guy like Matty Weber, I'm using Matty as a foil this morning, but sorry, Matty. A dude like Matty Weber, if he's going to go buy Apple today, he's going to buy it because he thinks it's going up, and he thinks the guy who sells it to him is an idiot, basically. Right, Frank? I mean, that's the bottom line. If you sell it, you think you've got...
That's about a bottom line. But Matty Weber wasn't buying Eastman Kodak the day before the announcement.
I understand
that. Knowing that the guy that sold it to him is a chump.
But what I'm saying is everybody, I mean, if I, you know, went on the internet, or if I got a something from one of our people, and it said, let me pick a stack here, all of a sudden, Telephone got a contract to build God knows what for the military. And I'm thinking, well, it's in this paper, but it hasn't been picked up by everybody yet. Now, since that is public information, I can go by Telephone. I wouldn't hesitate.
Yep.
I wouldn't hesitate. Because that's not cheating. That's just me being doing some research the night before everybody else is out drinking. I'm home pounding away on my computer doing some research. That's totally fair. But as you get closer and closer to the Holy Grail, well, your concept of fair gets totally different. There was a guy in the one of the Kenny Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he traded right in front of me. He's a character. But Kenny went to he must have been. I don't know where he came from. I thought he was in Detroit or something. Anyway, he ended up in one of the boarding schools. I don't even know what the boarding school was. Man, do you know anybody ever went to a boarding school?
No.
Me neither.
So I do.
That doesn't surprise me. Just saying. You did? No. Where did you go? Anyway.
I went to South Bend John Adams. I know lots of people that went to boarding school, though. So do you.
Ooh. Not anybody from around here.
Yeah, but you went to school at Notre Dame with guys that they had the Catholic boarding schools, whether it was, what was the place in Prairie du Chien, the Jesuit boarding school.
Well,
there were a bunch of them around.
Well, there were none on the south side. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but maybe you should expand your horizons.
Well, I could have. I didn't.
No, but there were a bunch of people that I knew athletically did the fifth year at prep schools.
Really?
Yeah, you could get athletic scholarships. If you swimming was one of those things where they bring, you know, the ADD high SAT kid in, you know, the kid with the underachiever,
yeah,
who is an athlete, and they give you money. You boost up their test scores. They get you into Harvard.
Well, yeah, they're definitely training grounds for those kinds of places. Anyway, so, but the thought of going away somewhere. When I was out of eighth grade to some eastern spot where There's nothing but a bunch of guys. That's only, but anyway.
You thought you'd wait 4 years, right?
Yeah, I thought I'd wait 4 years for that. Yeah. Well, at least then, because I had a car, I could travel out of the place if I wanted to. But anyway, so Kenny's going, yeah, this guy in IBM, was it? I think it was IBM, but I'm not sure. The CEO, the CFO of IBM and the specialist went to the same boarding school. So whenever the earnings came out, he'd call the guy up and say, here are the earnings. The guy never dreamed there was anything wrong. That was why he went to the boarding school. That was the entitlement of getting there. That's why I was not a real fan, even though he's actually, I thought, done some pretty good stuff now that he's been a justice. The latest judge that everybody was all over had the huge Senate fight about with his parties and stuff. That, you know, he went to those places because that's how you got moved forward. And that just sort of bothers
me. I believe every story told about him too, because I grew up with those kids.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. And what I'm saying is it doesn't make him bad person, doesn't mean he's gonna be a bad judge. People can change. As a matter of fact, he looks like he's gonna be a pretty good judge from what he's done so far. But the point being is, your sense of entitlement or mine, I don't have any because I never got any of that stuff. Yet these other people, if they're not entitled, they feel like they're being rubed, right? It's just different. Mm-hmm. Just different. So what if we come up with some sort of a? I mean, what are we talking about? With all this money churning in the system, are we going to, like, double the market here or what?
We're up what? Jeez. It's, what, 30, 40% right now?
Well, no, there's something. If you take.
And you mean double it from here?
Yeah, you mean,
well, we'll double it if they fix this problem.
Why?
And we'll only go up 50% if we don't.
Yeah, I don't mean, are we, I don't know what the goal is here, because I can't figure out, as much as I look at the Trump situation and I just shake my head, I listened to the other two yesterday and I shook my head even more, they don't know what they're doing either. I mean, I have no thought whatsoever that Joe Biden is in charge of his motorcade, let alone be in charge of his country. What's her name? Kamala Harris, she's been a district attorney for how many years? That's it? Never had a regular job? I don't need that. Just saying.
Well, we got Mike Pence.
Okay, there's another one.
Right. You know, I have a theory, too. Nikki Haley has a prime speaking job this week. There's long-run rumors about Nikki being the VP candidate still could come true. You know, we go with subcontinent to subcontinent competition, woman to woman, and we get rid of Mike Pence. It was about as interesting as a warm bucket of spit.
You know, he's from Indiana. He's your kind of guy.
Oh, he spooks me.
He does. And he's the one who's picking all the judges. That's scary. He and McConnell.
McConnell speaking too.
Yeah, I don't see a solution anywhere with any of these people. I mean, I see things just changing in front of my eyes, and one side, my right wing, and I honestly don't know they're wrong. Frankly, I get this constant barrage of stuff from the right where it's all, of course, orchestrated by a few people and the names of flame. At least Hillary's not in there anymore. At least they're not all blaming on Hillary, but it's Soros and who are these guys, Antifa, whoever those guys even are. But I mean, there's
Antifa. I mean, Antifa could be run by Maddie and me. Nobody runs Antifa.
I understand that, but I'm saying I can't tell if it's just happening, if it's orchestrated. Even the simple stuff. I mean, what are we doing with? I mean, I was reading the article I sent you last night, the last one about Penn State and all these people. Now we have a coronavirus that is very, very unique. Fortunately, not as deadly, but incredibly unique in the sense that it is so. And I say this every day, but I think a lot of people don't get this. It's amazingly contagious when people don't think they have it, and it's everywhere. I keep reading these articles about how Denmark did such a better job than we did because they shut everybody down. Denmark's what, the size of Illinois, maybe. and it didn't get there on like three coasts simultaneously. It's nowhere near the size of this place, and it doesn't have the travel.
It's much
place.
More homogeneous.
Yeah, but it's
the United States.
So it's a
Denmark is only 5.8 million. It's like
Chicago.
A third of.
It's like Cook County.
Yeah, it's like Cook County. Right. So I mean, to compare one to the other, I mean, did they have 400,000 flights back and forth of people to China? I think not. I don't think the problem there was anywhere near the same. But now everybody, every Gladys Kravitz in the world, every person who gets it now out of college, every person who gets it is because they didn't do what somebody else told them to do. Frank, that is so damn dangerous, I can't even touch it. That means everybody who gets a cold got a cold because they went out to a bar when they shouldn't have, they didn't stay home with grandma, or they didn't hang in the basement all night. I mean, are we going there? I think we are. I think we're already there. And you watch
we've always been there.
Where?
Going out to a bar is dangerous. Tell me anything good that happened to you after midnight in a bar.
I have to stay up for a
minute. Maybe four or five things.
Well,
I was much closer to getting killed than laid quite often. So
that's because you don't have near as nice a personality as me.
Oh, no. I mean, I quit drinking for 10 years once when I found myself in Calumet City with a bunch of older drag racers and underage girls, and I'm wearing a three-piece suit, and I said, how'd I get here?
No, that's not a good one. That's not good.
No, that's not a good one. But, you know, yeah.
Well, that was my...
Drinking can cause problems.
Well, I'm
nobody
sure
ever quit drinking and got dumber.
Well, that's the truth. I don't... But it's one nice thing in college when everybody else was doing all the other stuff. I said, you know what? I found one vice I can control. Why don't I not keep going down the road until I find one I can't? So
that's always a good idea.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was a lot of stuff around. Boy, I still can't get over the drugs that were around in those days. And, it's just
early different. 70s South Bend was exactly like Pulp Fiction. You may not have realized it.
Well, the off-campus parties were pretty interesting. I remember the Lazy Susans, where every one of them had a different drug in there. Oh, my God. Anyway, so, Frank, we've got... Is there any place... I don't think there's any place to sell here, but I'm still astounded by the amount of stocks you can have that aren't going up. I mean, I put a little position on a GM, and his Tesla goes up like 3% a day. The GM can't get out of its own way. Now, you can't tell me with the distribution system they have that they're going to absolutely blindside every other Volkswagen, all these people, when the time comes, they're not all going to have an electric car, too. Tesla's first, obviously, or seems to be gaining, but unless they're going to control all the battery technology, I mean, there's some point here where these numbers are just too high. I mean, Amazon's up another $30. What are we... These numbers are becoming such that I can't comprehend. Or is it all because of the amount of money entering the system? Because if you take the...
It has to be some of the money in the system. I mean, remember when we laughed at Elon Musk and the SEC went after him because he was talking about his stock was going to go from 360 to 800 or 700? It's $2,000.
Yeah, he said they might... Well, he said he might... When he got spanked, he said, I might buy it back at like 400. And would have been a great buy for him, wouldn't it?
He's a beauty.
Well, I mean, the guy has talent. I'll say that for him.
Oh, yeah, he does. You know, he started up the space company, which is pretty impressive of himself. I think he can hire good people. But, you know, then I worry, you know, 15 years from now, we may see this man as the president of the United States. This is the direction we're heading in. You know, is it going to be him or Kanye West?
I have different views on Kanye West. For those that didn't, I'm sure a lot of people said good. The fact that he cannot get on the Illinois ballot really troubles me. Why not? He's only on, what, two states? Anybody who doesn't think there's some connection...
Why'd you mention Illinois and not the other...
Because the Illinois thing just happened a few days ago. It's the last one I read.
Well, the reason these guys can't, and both parties, in a two-party state, they want to protect the status quo. They do not want people that have not been vetted by either the Democrats or the Republicans. And they'll let fringe parties in, like the Greens. The Republicans are fine with the Greens because it's not going to hurt them. And they make it difficult to get in.
Well, anybody, I mean, as everybody knows, the reason why I like doing the show so much is we have the freedom to take, instead of being one of the guys on TV or ladies that says that has to read a story and then reads the next story without ever connecting the two, when the story really is between the, in the connection of the two, I think. If you combine, you know, Trump having to be, run as a Republican when he really should have been an independent, Michael Bloomberg not going anywhere, and somehow Biden coming out of the ashes because somebody decreed that he's the guy and everybody else fell apart. I don't know, I mean, I don't know who this somebody is. Then you combine that, which, oh, by the way, a third party can't get on any, you can't get on these ballots.
Steve Wynn, that's who it is.
But you can't get on these ballots. I mean, anybody who thinks that there's not something wrong here, and I keep my finger on it, so I'm not going to say what it is, but something is, you look at our government the way it is, and as useless as it's become. I mean, the mask issue. Biden yesterday was ranting and raving about masks. He's sitting there 10 feet away from anybody with that stupid mask on. And here's the conundrum, Frank. In something where older people are much more susceptible than other people, and if I'm going to be around any of them, am I going to take a bullet and say, yes, I'm going to wear a mask even though I don't think it's... But on the other side of the coin is, healthy people don't wear masks. It's bad for them. I know that too. Over the long, it's not bad for me to walk into, to put it on and go into the Myers for 20 minutes. I get that part.
Boy, and I know that there's a bunch of pedophiles underground that are behind all the stuff you're talking about. I don't, the older I get, the less I really know.
Well, that's right.
When I see too much of this, you shouldn't wear masks, doesn't come from a medical school or a place, a research institute. It comes from the guy down the block that has MD after his name.
Well, okay.
And a blog. And that's what bothers me about that. I have not found any compelling. I know I argue with you, Carl, and Kevin about it, but I do not find it compelling. I think it's that people do not know how to breathe. Correctly.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if you thought nobody had any germs, the last thing you would do is tell them to put a mask on. It's going to restrict your airflow. It's going to pick up germs on it. Correct. I was surprised at the article I sent out that if the doctors that wear the M80, the 95 masks, the ones that actually work, because mm-hmm. they're so restrictive on air. That when they finish the surgery, sometimes their oxygen level in their blood is down so low they shouldn't even be operating.
Maybe they're too old to be operating anymore.
Well, that's possible too. But I'm saying
we aren't doing basic research.
We
can't answer questions, and it also affects the information we get. Compare Notre Dame's dashboard with I sent you the University of North Carolina. They slice and dice the disease outbreak down to multiple levels. Notre Dame is, we had this many tests, this many people are positive.
What do you think of the Bears yesterday?
Yeah, fake positives.
From someplace in New Jersey.
They'll say it was mistaken, but it was fake. That's incompetence at some sort of level.
Well, okay. But I get the, I don't understand, the whole thing, I mean, it's hard for me to put it in words because it is so crazy. We don't seem to have any direction on anything. Why don't we use one of these universities as an experiment, and everybody that went in there should have gotten a test, which I think people did get. And, of course, if we don't get the results back in 6 days, how many people could have got it in the 6 days? So if you did the test we got the same day, and you gave everybody an antibody test and just logged them through, and found out where the breakouts came, where they didn't. By the way, they don't even mention, are these people sick? If they're not sick, I mean, what's the difference? Then some are sending them home.
We don't know. They're shutting it down, the flow of information.
Question: Why is this? I mean, the thing yesterday, there was going to be a national announcement about this plasma thing. Kevin, Frank, we talked about this in April. This has been around the whole way. And Kenny Pulcheri, who had you know, he caught it in the New York hospital picking up his daughter. He's been on the show. He's been very forthright, so I can talk about him. His antibodies are blinking off the charts. He's tried to give plasma like three times, and they keep canceling. He's never going anywhere. But why? Why? Why is it supposed to be for four people? Why is his plasma going to some nursing home and give it to four people? I mean, this is crazy, Frank. This is just absolutely crazy.
Because we don't have any leadership.
At any level.
I was the one that said, hey, whatever this is, you're either going to overdo it or underdo it. Let's go overdo it and have a Marshall Plan, a comprehensive plan, national plan, to figure out what the heck is going on. Instead, we dump it on governors.
Yeah, and mayors. Oh, yeah.
And mayors. You know, they're poorly equipped.
Frank, are you buying or selling Apple this morning, bud?
I'm being Chauncey Gardner and being there. I'm watching it.
Oh, good.
What are you doing?
I don't know, but I got to do something here soon.
I know. Well, we have five stocks that are driving this, or six stocks that are driving this. So it's...
We got the money supply out there. If we start picking up the velocity, the inflation is going to be 5% come January. That much I'm worried about. And then who knows if the Fed goes the other way. And we have whatever. It'll be... Frank, we'll talk next week, buddy. SP okay, Futures up 29, NASDAQ Futures up 107. Come back, we'll have John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, Road Base Station Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Matt Weber. On the board, he's Mr. Janet Flanning, and waiting on the phone. S&P futures up 29, NASDAQ futures up 107, Dow up 286 as we were up a little bit last night, and then all of a sudden we had the White House came out and talked about AstraZeneca vaccine before the election. Why he picked that one, I don't know. I've been reading about these different companies. I thought they were all sort of in the same place. I actually thought the one from Viramax or whatever was maybe leading, but obviously they've picked AstraZeneca. Now why, I don't know, whether were they traded ahead of it or not, or there actually is something that we don't know. That's possible, I suppose. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 309, 2.4%, FTSE up 113, 1.9. Maybe you think we're bouncing up more on fake vaccine rumors than we did on fake Fed rumors 2 years ago? It seems like well, it's one thing or another, right? CAC up 112, 2.3, so big rallies over in Europe. Nikkei up only 65 points, 0.2%. Shanghai up 4, call that flat. Hang Seng up a bunch, though, up 437, 1.7. Bonds, we've got the 0.63, still going nowhere. Bund minus 0.49, Japan positive 0.02. So bonds are not taking any good news out of any of this stuff. Everything else is oil up 30 cents. 42.64, Brent up 33, 44.68, natural gas unchanged, 244, RBOB up to 130, up 2 cents. Gold up $11, but still in 1958, still down from the mid-2000s where it topped out. Silver up 24 cents, 26.97. Medium Air Force Traffic Weather Sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have an issue on the outbound Eisenhower, Chief. One of those overnight shootings, which we're getting used to, on the outbound Ike that happened at 2:15 this morning on the westbound side between Damon and California. And that has outbound 290 still closed for police activity to conduct that investigation. So you'll want to avoid the outbound at 290 unless you get on after Damon heading outbound. No word on when that will be wrapped up, but hopefully before the bigger part of the morning rush, even though the morning rush is not the same as it normally is. But still, that's our only issue on any of the area expressways. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Inbound side of the Ike is still looking okay. Stevenson is fine. South side expressways are all quiet. Off the expressways on the south side, there's a serious fire at 69th and South Racine. No injuries reported, but crews have been working on that since about 4:30 this morning, and that has some block traffic blockage there. And then on the northwest suburbs, Palatine Road on the eastbound side between Wheeling and South Wolf Road is closed due to a serious crash that happened this morning about 5 o'clock involving two vehicles. Emergency crews and cleanup are on the site there that has Palatine Road closed. Weather today, it's going to be a sunny and hot day, a bit warmer than it's been. We'll reach a high of 92. Right now it's clear and 74 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot down there as well. A high of 115 down in Phoenix as their temperatures skyrocket back up. Right now it's clear and 90. In sports, the Cubs were able to salvage the final game of the three-game set at home versus the White Sox, winning 2-1. Yu Darvish was very good. 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, 1 run. The 1 run was to red-hot Jose Abreu, who hit 6 home runs in the series, breaking a White Sox record. Kyle Schwarber delivered the big blow after a Javier Baez double. Schwarber hit a 2-run shot to center field. That was all the Cubs were going to get, and it turned out it was all they needed as they beat the White Sox 2-1. Sox take 2 of 3 in the series. Cubs are at Detroit tonight, 6 p.m. Chicago time first pitch. White Sox are off. They'll host the Pirates tomorrow. Diamondbacks lost to the Giants 6-1. They'll host the Rockies tonight at 6:30. So as we take our Monday morning look at the Major League Baseball standings, the red-hot White Sox, who had won 7 in a row before losing yesterday, sit at 17-12, third place in the AL Central, but just 2 games behind the Twins and a half a game behind the second-place Indians. So they're right in the thick of it there, playing really good ball, obviously. The Cubs remain in first place at 17-10, 3 games ahead of the Cardinals, 5.5 ahead of the Reds and Brewers. And the Diamondbacks, after a really good stretch for a while there, winning 6 in a row, they've now lost 5 in a row and are at 13-16, last place in the NL West. Chief.
Would you say they're a streaky team?
I would say they are.
Jan, how are you?
Tom, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm just confused. It's just, you know. I'm just very confused.
You know, you're getting a lot of flack on Twitter for not letting Frank tell his story when he said, I was found in Calumet with a bunch of drag racers and underage girls in a three-piece suit.
I was waiting for the...
How the hell do you not ask a follow-up question? Jesus.
I was hoping that was the end of the story. I just... He said, when I realized, what am I doing here, I assumed he left and went home, but maybe that's not the... Maybe that's... We will quiz him next Monday. Make a note. Put it in me book. Remember in the Quiet Man? Put it in me book that we... we ask him.
Sometimes Chief gets in that terrier mode where he's focused on his one thing and has his tunnel vision, and then a firework happens to his right and he misses it.
Let's put it this way: I was hoping that was the end of the story. I just didn't ignore
right.
it.
Any story that involves Calumet City, or at least the part I think Frank is referring to, is probably past his shelf date, so you want to wrap that one up pretty fast.
I was going to ask him, did he leave with the suit? I mean, was that the next question? God. I remember a story. My uncle was he was a county policeman, right? And he was a detective. He went undercover and they busted a bunch of these bars in Cicero. You know, when you had the this is a bit back before most people's day, you had the Hawthorne plant was everything that was made for a long time. Virtually every piece of telephone equipment was made at the Hawthorne plant. Phones, cables, the big switching complexes that you used to see. And there were 30,000 people that worked there, right, John? Or 35?
The Western Electric plant, yeah.
It was basically 24/7. So whenever you have that happening, your bars, either legitimately or not legitimately, are essentially 24/7. Then you had the electromotive, which was, I think, at least 2 shifts, right? Plus all kinds of other places that service these places, the truck docks and everything else. So that was a happening place. So to say that Cicero was a mecca for gambling, these guys were all pretty highly paid. Mecca for gambling and drinking and hookering, prostitution all night long, was an understatement. So my uncle, he was on the front page of the Tribune where he was busted some of these places, and he was pretty well famous for a while. Well, after a while, my mother's cousin, who was kind of a character, he said, well, I went to my uncle's this huge man. He looked just like Luca Brasi. I mean, you would not have messed with him. He said, we go to these bars in Calumet City. You know, we sit down and we order a drink, and your uncle puts this $20 bill on the bar, and the guy gives him change, but doesn't take the 20. Then they get another drink, and he gets change again. Then they go to the next bar, put the 20 up, get change. But nobody ever took his 20. He just kept getting change everywhere. And I guess that went back to the county police somehow. I don't know. So, Manny, there are stories, shall we say. But I've never once been to Kevin. I heard so much bad stuff about it, I don't think I've ever been there. But there was a guy from, get a load of this. This is how wacky the world was. Pullman, when people went on the road, instead of like just paying for somebody's American Express and giving somebody the bill, they would give people cash advances. So if somebody like went to Boston or New York to spend like a week, they'd give the guy like $5,000 in cash to pay for his hotel. I mean, it was the craziest thing. So they had all this cash in the safe. And there was never any. There was a parking lot. There was a big plant. There was never any security. All of a sudden, somebody says, "Hey, you know, what about we need some security at this lot, right?" Because it was a black neighborhood right in there, but there was never any trouble. Those people were fine. It wasn't like today. I mean, it was a nice neighborhood. So they put the security guard out there in this little house, guarding like my car, my 66 F-85. I didn't really need a guard. Nobody had many money, so everybody had junky cars. So the guy's out there with a gun. And I'm saying, one of these days, someone's going to bop him on the head, take the gun and shoot somebody. We're going to have... So all of a sudden, there's a robbery in the safe. Who do you think robbed it? It was a security guard. So they find a guy in Cal City with some hooker, and all the money's gone, right? Go figure. So they have a massive meeting. This is why I'm so jaded about these things. They had a massive meeting the next week about what to do about the problem. Maddie, I'll go with you. What do you think the solution was?
More security guards.
More security guards.
Right.
The only one they had was the guy who did the robbery. We needed more now. So you can see where I get this weird view of the world, right? Well, this stuff that in my past. John knows that I'm nuts because these stories like this make me nuts. What can I tell you?
Perfectly normal response.
How do you even go there? But anyway, the thought of Frank wandering around in a suit in Calumet City. I'm starting now. I know why. We'll ask him next Monday because now I'm convinced the story didn't end there either. I think the listeners are right.
Well, you can see it even in some of the reruns I've caught lately on some of the rerun TV stations here of The Untouchables. And there's a fair number of those old, Robert Stack, Elliot Ness episodes that has Walter Winchell, doing the narration in the background, talking about, Calumet City, and they show some seedy strip. These people, like, lurching around, everybody's bombed, and
oh, God.
People hanging around, with pickpockets, everything. And the one... I think I was there once with a bunch of people coming back from a wedding or something in Indiana, and for some reason we went there, and once was quite enough for me, but it was a side of the Chicago underworld that you really didn't see in Chicago anymore. I'm sure there was a lot more of that.
Well, it's Shifter to Cicero, Calumet City. Well, Willow Springs, there's all these bars on Archer Avenue, man. They used to have gambling there, slot machines and stuff down in the basements, and when they get the heads up that there was going to be a raid, the police chief would call whoever, and they'd flash the streetlights on and off to give the bartenders, the bar owners, a heads up that the raid was coming. And they get the hell out of there because they were getting paid. This somebody's story. What's the place in? It's on 22nd Street. John went there. Marty O'Connell, the guy I learned everything from at on a trading floor, had a reunion. This is God, it's a while ago, 7-8 years. There's this German bar on somewhere out in Berwyn, and it was a place where Al Capone and his guys would play poker like every Friday night or something. So if you go upstairs, it's dirty now, but they had the poker table, and they had all the feet, and the names of the people whose feet they were are all like etched in the bottom, etched in the floor. And next to it, they got a row of these tiny little rooms, Matty, with these little cots in there. So there would be six hookers up there waiting for the six guys. So if you lose a few hands, you go, I'll be back in 20 minutes. You come back. Like, you couldn't write fiction like this. They'd head over, they had their own private hooker, and then come back and luck would change or something. I don't know. Something would change. I mean, what a life. I mean, you didn't want to live back then because if, Al Capone had the syphilis, his life wasn't so hot. But, anyway. But I mean, crazy world. But people don't change. I mean, those guys, they're no different than the people who manipulate markets and things now. You just do it in a different way. The whole idea,
yeah, right.
I mean, it's just... So, John, what we see the markets doing this. We see the Fed doing their thing. We see the race for the presidency. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I tell you what, it's really, really hard to keep track. And not to mention trade, because normally, when the markets do that, I've seen it happen two times when we've had this constant concentration on stocks. In 2000, it ended up with a total disaster. Those stocks went down by, I think the QQQ, which is now, it's now 284. It got to 125 somewhere in there, and then dropped, I think, below 25. So those stocks totally collapsed. And I can name them. Cisco, Oracle, Microsoft, Dell, Intel. There was one more. They just absolutely collapsed. Where Cisco was 65 and it went to like 6. You know, I don't see that happening here, but I mean, if Apple's now 512 this morning, I mean, I could see the thing being back at 300 pretty easily. I mean, it's 20 sometimes earnings now. It could be, if it went back to 16, that's where it would go. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but I could see it there. I mean, it's not like I'd see Tesla. I mean, because now other times when some stocks ran up like that, I did very well for my clients who were just, but I didn't think they were so overvalued at the time. I just thought they were quote leading the market, and there wasn't this cash thing coming in with the Fed. So I just looked at the stocks that hadn't moved. It looked to me like they were going to do okay, and I bought some of those. But now the stuff that I've done some of that with the last couple of weeks, even though we had a couple of real nice winners, the rest of them are kind of clunking. I mean, U.S. Steel made a big move 2 months ago, and I thought when it went back down and the market kept going up, it would do it again. It hasn't. GM cannot, I mean, the thought that you, because Tesla's moving, you should buy GM. Well, geez, stick that one where the sun don't shine, right? I mean, that ain't happening. Same thing with Ford. I mean, it's kind of eerie that you would think, I'm not saying that GM should be valued like Tesla, but I mean, it literally can't move. And neither can Ford. I mean, it's up a little bit, you know, from like 6.5 to 7, you know, big whoopee. But, you know what I'm saying, John? It's very difficult to put the pieces together now in any sort of a logical way. But I get the feeling that something's out of whack, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if are they really going to continue to debase the currency to where the entire market is up 40%? I mean, it looks like what they're trying to do. And if you do that, without telling anybody about the inflation, then all of a sudden your debt gets easier to pay off. Inflating your way out of debt is not the first go around with that. A lot of countries have tried that. Okay, I mean, obviously the Weimar did. In Iran, it didn't work out so well, neither would Weimar. Now, the Weimarans called it a winner, even though they decimated some people along the way. But I just, somewhere along the line, I keep going back to the 1920s. I mean, I don't personally, because I wasn't there. I don't think you can continue to leave big chunks of your population behind and be a winner in the end. I mean, maybe that's just my Catholic upbringing that you shouldn't be able to do that. Maybe that's different than you can't do that. You shouldn't kill somebody, but if you got a gun, you sure as hell can, right? This idea of this massive permanent underclass in this country, we've gotten there a couple other times. We did in 1929, we did it in 2000, and every time there's been this violent reaction the other way. Now, is this time different to where we're going to have 80% of the population making $35,000 a year and the rest of the people making a million? I don't know, John. I mean, it hasn't worked here before, but things are setting up this time so concentrated in so many places, it just might, it seems to me.
And maybe, well, if you look what's happening on the political front with the, you know, after emerging from watching the Democratic convention last week and, you know, the Republican convention starts today, I see such a disconnect between the political process for the average person compared to what it used to be. It was always somewhat disconnected, to be sure, but now there was absolutely no transparency in really what's going on in the parties at a national level. It's done behind the scenes. There's no brawling on television. You don't have gavel-to-gavel coverage like you used to. Remember when the networks would have talking heads from, you know, 11 in the morning till 2 in the morning of the next day, however long it took to get through the agenda for that day. And you had scholarly people, you had former, you know, politicians discussing what was happening on the floor, and you got to see naked emotion when these parties would fracture sometimes, that people walk out and discuss. And the average person who had the time or the patience to watch that, I think, felt a certain kind of stake in the whole process that you waited for every 4 years. And with television, certainly, it became much more accessible. Now it's gone. I mean, it was pretty much gone, I think, in 2016, with the way, you know, things panned out with Sanders and Clinton. But it's worse this time around, and And if you thought there was going to be any kind of saving grace in, you know, the National Party or the platform, which isn't even discussed anymore,
no,
really,
no.
If there is a platform, and there is, but very few people are talking about it, how would the average person take to voting at all when you've got this kind of, you know, things, everything is done pretty much off screen or off stage. You can't get at any information about it anymore, even.
No.
So I feel it's all part of this demoralization, and it's likely to be this way from now on. There'll never be real conventions anymore. Why should there be? At this rate, they don't need them, and it's just another way of sequestering, you know, what's really happening here from the people who are being manipulated. It's too bad.
Yeah, you wonder what again, in our lifetime, you had, there were a lot of decent people, I think, in the Senate. The thought of Paul Douglas, Paul Simon, Chuck Percy, even Peter Fitzgerald, sitting there and trading ahead of stuff all day long and instead of doing the job they were doing. I could never accuse Edward Dirks, I could never accuse any of those people of doing that. Just wasn't even part of their vernacular. It wasn't like, you know, they didn't make a deal here and there. I mean, I always had to do that. People don't change, but the idea that we're flinging money at these drug companies and all the trading is done, seeming like done ahead of it, and we're picking winners, and we're and Trump wants a piece of the deal with TikTok. What is he talking about? That is so far afield. Somebody who's been in finance their whole life, when somebody says something like that, I go, where is this guy coming from? Is he from Mars or New York? What's the difference, Mars or New York? Huh? The fact that they even have the audacity to mention it means that it's got to be happening, right?
Right. It's been legitimized.
Yeah.
I don't see how.
When I was in school and the idea of the stock markets and trading on the floor, I mean, I was mesmerized by it. I'd do it all over again in a second. If you could put me back down on a badge for one day, God, would I be slow? I mean, I can't. I'd be so slow. My signals are bad. My hearing's not as good. But if I could do it one more day, I'd do it. It's like a Major League Baseball player. If I have one more time at bat, right? Cause to me, that was the last bastion of real capitalism. You competed all day long. You tried basically your ass off. Someday you win, someday you lose. And it's the idea. I mean, you always knew somebody had a little bit of an edge. But this idea now that everybody seems to have an edge. We have a world that is absolutely convinced. I mean, when did we get this collectively stupid? That people think that because they're trading for free, that somehow it's free? They missed the article about, Citadel paying people, $700 million or something last year in payment for order flow, and you think that your trade is free when somebody sells it on the other end? You're paying somewhere, right?
Oh, sure.
But I mean, nobody thinks that. What do you mean? It's free. This is great. Well, fine. I guess, you know, depending on how you look at it. Brother Copper at Marist said, our second day there, somebody said something stupid as a freshman. And he goes, just remember, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than open it and remove all doubt. How's that for a line, Matty?
Always a good line.
So I'm listening to this demonstration over at Whitney Young that they're going to defund the police and invest money in the neighborhood. They put this young lady on there, and she's, you know, somewhat articulate. And guess what she says? I mean, what would possess anybody to say something like this? You may think it. And then you say, well, God, it'll never. She goes, they should pay for my grad school so I can come back and help the people here instead of paying police. It's always, instead of paying police, pay me. Now, I know that somewhere buried in the human emotion, I guarantee you, in the mass show, when they showed up with the bus and all the wounded in there, there's going to be somebody who says, fix me first and I'll help you with the other people, right? There's always going to be that, right? But the fact that does she know what she's saying? Give me $50,000 to go to grad school, fire that policeman, and when I come back, I'll help the neighborhood, and we'll all be a net positive. Really? I mean, what are we talking about?
I hate to think, but that's kind of what grad school does to people.
Well, she hasn't gone yet.
It gives you the sense that you can replace the police. All you need is more social workers or people with, you know, an MSW degree, and this will take care of a police problem. This seems to have gotten some currency among these demonstrators, and I can't imagine where it came from. It didn't come from, you know, listening to the police scanner or just watching what's happening, you know, in any big city these days. I think it comes from academic, you know, inculcation that you somehow do have skills or abilities that you know, formerly were, you know, vested in the police. I have to laugh, but, you know, there's some serious discussion about this, so I can't completely, you know, dismiss it.
Well, if you were Wilford Brimley, in the absence of malice, when he came in and he told the guy that, you know, your ass is going to be in my suitcase when we leave. When we have shootings, as many just reported, every single day now, damn near, or 5 days a week, say, why doesn't somebody come in and say, you bleeps, you wanted $90 bazillion from all these cameras. There's more cameras in Chicago than any other city in the world but London. We haven't solved one more since we had the cameras than before. Do they do any good? Do we just pay somebody off? Where did that money go?
Oh, even with the cameras, I mean, I don't think there's been an uptick even in arrests or, you know, locking up suspects, let alone getting convictions or meaningful jail sentences out of perpetrators, you know, crimes. So I gotta believe that there's been some sort of a, you know, throwing money in the wrong direction. It doesn't translate to what you would expect to happen.
Well, what about the three idiots? And I suspect what color they are, but I don't know. That you hear about the girl who got beat up in Armitage in seminary, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they cut him on the Brown Line platform, didn't they?
Yeah, these guys take this girl's thing, they beat her up. There's cameras and there's people there, and they walk upstairs and they're going to take in the train, and they had to be the most shocked people on earth they actually got arrested. Have we become so anarchical that they don't think that they're going to follow them upstairs, that the police are that lame?
There are probably more security cameras, you know, in any station, you know, any L station or subway station on the CTA than anywhere else.
This girl got beat up in front of 7-Eleven, maybe?
I didn't read about this.
Yeah, it was right on the corner.
When did this happen?
Saturday night.
Yeah, I missed that.
And well, so they went for a purse. She resisted. So they smacked her up, and she, you know, all cut up or something. They said she refused treatment, but the police actually looked for the guys, amazingly, and they're sitting up on the Brown Line waiting for the train. We talk about, they'll never come after us. They don't do anything anymore. Well, they got caught. Now they're probably already out. Now, if she'd have over 1,000 hours in her wall, then what? It's not a felony, according to Kim Fox.
I think they were juveniles too, weren't they?
Oh yeah. Now, is there any rehab for any of these people? I question that. I mean, being a Catholic, the idea is you can always rehab somebody. I don't know. I mean, for those guys, maybe. If you start shooting people, I'm not so sure. SP Futures up 30 now, and NASDAQ Futures up 123. Individual stocks, Apple up 16. We've got CVX up 115. We've got Home Depot up 225. I was there this weekend. We got Walmart up 75 cents. And we have Microsoft up $1.78. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You could reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. It's Matt Weber on the board. It's John Flanagan with us. It's how tough it is to invest these days without, my mother used to be a very good bridge player, and I think the word Maddie and Jan was one good peak is worth two good finesses or something along those lines. just saying. I'm looking at this AstraZeneca, which is the symbol is AZN. It's trading 57.87 up 216 today. It's like 4%. You know, their history in March, when the market was going way down, the stock ticked down to maybe 36.5 or something. It had been 50-ish, so it had been up higher than that. But it sold down when everybody else did with the coronavirus sell-off. But now on May 21st, they were going to get paid $1.2 billion, okay, for its experimental vaccine developed alongside researchers at the University of Oxford. The U.S. is contracted for 300 million doses, which actually is a lot cheaper than what other people are getting paid here. Everybody else is getting paid like 10 million a dose. Now, I don't know if they were going to get the 300 million for free, but this is in May. So by May, the thing had already bounced back to 55. So now you got lobbyists all over the place working on this thing. They're all trading. Now, John, that there's, Milton Friedman thought that there shouldn't be any insider trading laws. Of course, He also thought that everybody traded open outcry where you could see who you were trading with, which doesn't happen anymore. So I don't know if he would say the same thing today. But the idea is there's all this information out here. That's what I was trying to talk about with Frank, is that everybody thinks that the reason why they buy a stock is they know more than the guy who's selling it to them, right? I mean, this is just human nature. But all this stuff, when you start getting to every single one of these places, and these are the places now that are involved in this, and these are the companies. I'll tell you the story. AstraZeneca, Novavax, Pfizer, and BioNTech, whoever they are. Sanofi and GlaxoSmithKline, which are co-doing a vaccine. Johnson & Johnson and Moderna all are part of this whole thing. Now, the interesting part is the U.S., some lobbyist, somebody had already given Moderna $955 million for the development, okay, which is interesting.
Johnson & Johnson had already gotten $456 million for development. Now, if you think about it, all right, let me get this straight. I don't know. I mean, I know this is expensive stuff, but let's say that the average person working on this in research, maybe you're young. What do you think they're making? A PhD in chemistry or biotech or something? $300,000 a year, most?
I would say that's probably at the most.
The most. All right. So, what's $456 million divided by $300 million or 300,000? Leave my calculator out here.
It's a lot of chemists.
It's a lot of chemists. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? I mean,
I have it right here: $456 million divided by 300,000 equals 1520. 1,520.
So 1,520 man years. That's a lot. Now you got obviously some plant equipment and so forth. It's like when people say there's a legal bill somewhere. Sorry, Jan. Or somebody pays a legal bill of like $100 million, you sit there and go, wait a minute, even if $500 an hour, how many people are we talking about working on this thing? How could it possibly be that high? I mean, and Moderna, does Moderna even have that many people? Moderna's not that big.
Oh, I'm sure they don't. But it's masking too. I mean, there could be private research labs, there could be university departments that are all, you know, across the board. In some ways, receiving that money through grants or studies or whatever else. So who knows?
Okay, but the U.S.
exactly where this plays out.
Right, I get that part, but the U.S. invested $955 million in Moderna's vaccine development. Right, so that's double, and I'm going to say Moderna's what a hundredth the size of Johnson & Johnson.
Sure. Yeah.
So where do they spend $1 billion on people? Now, granted, they might muscle some of it out to University of Michigan or Notre Dame or University of, it wouldn't be Notre Dame, maybe Wisconsin or Johns Hopkins or someplace. What's that going to be? A million? Two? It's not 50. I mean, they'd be happy with $1 million grant to do some research. You don't need to give them $100 million, I don't think, do you?
No, but I mean, if you factor in, you know, all levels of state regulation, the CDC, the National Health Institutes, all these players that are going to be involved at the other end, you can be sure are participating in this process from the get-go, no matter who gets the money. So, you know, I think it's going to be spread around in pretty much the same way. It's a question of who gets the bigger chunk and who gets it first and who gets the patent fast enough or, you know, rich enough to, you know, really make a difference for investors. So the whole thing is very, very skewed, to say the least.
All right, well, these guys got... Then they're gonna give them $400 million. But depending on whether you got the money up front or not, your doses. Now, SmithKline, Sanofi, and GSX announced July 31st that they would get paid $2.1 billion to develop and deliver 100 million doses or potential candidate. All right, so that's $21 a dose, right?
Yep.
More than half of the $2.1 billion investment will be used for further development of the vaccine, while the remaining, so they're going to pay, they're going to give you guys $1 billion for development. Now, what do you suppose the over? I mean, there was. I'm going to go crazy here, and please don't. I'll be brief. When you talk about, how can I start this by being brief? Or I'm already too late. When you talk about building a experimental aircraft at, say, Grumman or someplace, or Northrop, you know, Skunk Works or something, you're going to talk about how much do these people make per hour, and they're going to say, well, back then they made, you know, $20 an hour, 18 or 25 or something, and you're going to say, what's the overhead rate? Well, 400%. That's not happening. we're not paying the big bleeps that kind of money. The overhead rates that the government would pay, Jan, would be 1.5, 1.75, maybe 2, if you had the world's best lobbyist. But what do you suppose the overhead rate is here? What do you suppose the charge is for every hour of real chemist development time? when you're talking about $1 billion, I mean, how much of this is going into the pocket of the guy who runs the place, who's making how many bazillion dollars? I mean, what is the overhead rate? What do you suppose the overhead rate is in a normal emergency room hospital? It's got to be like 600%.
Oh, yeah, easily.
How can that even
or
be?
More.
I mean, how can that even mean? We're talking about, you know, everybody gives the Defense Department loads of crap about them fleecing the government. I'm saying back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, if you got the guys that came from Pullman that were in a Boeing, like helicopter division and so forth, they said if those guys would, they would clock every hour. They would, if you give them an extra penny on the overhead, they wanted the money back. I mean, as a government, we used to actually do some of this stuff halfway decently. Now, what do we just give these guys the check? I mean, this seems like a lot of dough. I mean, if they have, let's say they had 200 people working on this, that's a lot. So $1 billion is a lot for 200 people for 6 months. I'm just saying.
And especially since there's apparently no competitive process here by which anybody gets this money was chosen.
Well, sure it is. Sure it is. They lobby the hell out of these guys and stuff money in the Congress's back pocket. There's the competition.
Right.
I mean, it's not normal competition, but that's becoming the competition, right?
Right.
I mean, it becomes difficult to trade. It becomes difficult to be a citizen. You look at this and you say, wow, what if I owned a drug company that wasn't one of these guys? And I'm actually trying to do something here. How can I even compete? And we're also talking about guys that all what? Don't pay any taxes. Well, I don't know. Johnson & Johnson, I don't think, moved overseas. Some of these other guys have, right?
Sure. So we're offshore doing, stuff and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these is screwing around. I mean, you know, as a trader, you want your people in these stocks that are moving up. Okay. You want them in the indices that are moving up. But you also, when you see them moving up, you wonder, is it too far? Is it this? I mean, it's very, very difficult. I mean, I talk to new clients every day, and the question always is, it seems a little strange to me, what do you make of it? And I said, well, if you're in the stuff in the right ones, you know, which I have some people that are in the right ones, they're in QQQs and so forth, we'll just keep riding it, we'll keep rolling the puts up, or if it turns, we'll be okay. If you're not in the right ones, I mean, if you're in the Russell, you just sit there and think, well, at some point, if everything is this good, really, this other stuff's going to move too, right? I mean, but it hasn't yet. The Russell's still down, what, 6% in a year? Everybody else makes new highs every day? I mean, Apple's up, what, $100? $100, let me see what the Apple's up. I'm going to say Apple's got to be up, we'll get the new chart. Apple started the year at, $250, and now it's double. It's doubled this year. And people, I don't know, are people buying more phones? I don't think so. Economy better? I don't think so. So there, but it goes up every day, and boy, you don't want to be shorted, right? And I wouldn't tell anybody to be shorted. There's going to come a day, maybe you do, but I'll never pick it. But now you see, and we have, I don't know if you listened to Friday, I was talking about a friend of mine who's traded for us for a while, and now he's a consultant, but he's always been in and out of the a ticket business. So he worked for Ticketmaster and Ticketron, and they all got, how many of them got taken over a period of 2 decades, Maddie? Like every single one, right? Now there's one place left. It's LYV. Who are those guys? It's Live Sports or something? Live Nation. Live Nation Entertainment. It pretty much runs that whole business. And they own some of the biggest venues. And the stock there, I'll get it up here. Even the airlines have done the same thing. You know, because we have, you know, are we going to have vaccines and that? Stocks trading 75 hours, okay, earlier in the year, all of a sudden this happens, everything gets canceled. Stock goes from 75, and the down print was, let's say, 20 or something. And the, what's the date here? It's March 16th or something, day before St. Patty's Day, right when they shut things down. But say it got down, it was a one-day spike, so say upper 20s. Now it bounced back to where it's 53 or 4. None of these places are back open. They're losing money every single day. The same way with the airlines, same with a lot of these stocks. We've come back. The stocks that are affected, which obviously Apple doesn't seem to be, or at least people don't think it is, or Amazon or someplace, they clearly are making out by this because nobody else can do stuff. They've come back halfway and they're still losing money every day. Now, how long can they hang there? If we're talking about Thanksgiving and they're passing out vaccines, and are they going to make people take them? And yet, if the numbers keep going up, you know, what's going to happen there? I mean, how long can we stay in this no man's land? You know, and I'm real worried about it. I don't know how long we can stay here.
Well, I thought we'd be out of it by now, Tom, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't see it ending. You know, January 1 is the date that I've seen for a lot of arts organizations that they're going to try to reopen by January 1 and have some kind of a theater season, a music season, whatever. I don't see it happening. And whether or not there's a vaccine that's, you know, trial tested or in mass supply and distribution, I don't see that having much of an effect on the reopening either, because it's going to take, what, another year or a year and a half before we get enough penetration in the population to make people feel confident about this. People are much less confident, to me, when I, you know, in my conversations with people, they're much less confident now than they were 2 months ago about where we're headed, and a lot less comfortable than they were, you know, 6 months ago when this started. And I'm just afraid that this is the new normal now, that people are going to sacrifice a lot of their quality of life just because they're so terrified of this thing now. And I didn't see it having that kind of long-term effect on people's behavior, and I really underestimated it. I kind of didn't see this coming this strong anyway. So I'm pretty negative on the outlook short-term, 6 months or a year down the road from where I was before. I just don't see things returning to any kind of a normal that we
recognize. Are you sensing the same, and I'll defer to you, are you sensing the same class issue that I am?
You mean the underclass is you know,
the other class
really
is
taking it on the chin? Absolutely.
No, no, I'm not talking about economically. I'm talking about disease-wise.
Oh, yeah.
The underclass, sure. The underclass is back to work. They're not even, I mean, when I say the underclass, I would never put firemen or policemen in the underclass without saying where we broadcast from. The firehouse next door, I've never seen a mask. Ever since, 6 feet apart, and they get in the thing and they head out there on an expressway, if there's an accident, there's eight people back there. I'm going to say every single one of those people had it. I'm going to say all the people who pick up your garbage had it. These people, they never had a chance to stop working. The idea that teachers or, you know, somebody works in a building downtown, I mean, the rest of the world has come to grips with it. Who do you think is delivering your sandwiches and stuff? Postal service. I mean, guys come by every day to give me my mail. I mean, he never stopped. So the idea that you know, the teachers can't go back to, do you see they didn't say the name of the school. They had a 63-year-old teacher at one of the Catholic schools on the south side, and she said she doesn't feel safe coming to work, and they said, we respect your opinion, you're fired, we're not paying you, stay home. Somebody else says they'll come in and teach. I mean, I think we're one of these days we're going to be there, Jen. It's not I listened to the teachers union talking about this is when you talk about leadership, and I'll just say this, and you know, you can disagree, and maybe you will, but the teachers union over in this one area, they're talking about how we don't feel safe, and we go to these meetings, and we're part of the meeting, but then they make these decisions unilaterally. And I'm going to say that when you're in a, I don't want to use a Star Trek thing, but I will, they asked the young kid, how would it go if Captain Picard were here? He'd say, well, he'd ask everybody's opinion. Everybody would say where they're coming from, how their area deals with the problem, what their opinion is. Then he listens to everybody, and then he makes a call, and everybody's with him. And the teachers, you know, these a lot of people, not just municipal employees or city employees or government employees. The idea is when everything you do is, if you have a firm, if you know, if PTI does something. I mean, if we say we were getting. We aren't there yet, but say we did a private placements or something, or did we went out and we're raising money? We don't do that. We right now we're just dealing with you know, individual people, and we love it. So I don't ever think I need to do anything else. But say we did, there would be a deal, And I'd have, when John's an attorney, I'd say, John, what do you think? Well, you know, these guys, I think they're 90% vetted. 10%, I can't seem to find out. There's a couple of gaps, but I don't know. I mean, if this thing goes sour, we have this liability, that liability, that liability. I mean, that's your job, right? And somebody else, I'd say, what does their product look like? Looks pretty good. They looks like they've got inroads here. Their marketing seems okay. I'm going to listen to everybody around the table, and then I'm going to make the call. You know, it's not like the attorney's going to say, if this happens, we're liable to get sued. And I'm going to say, okay, if we get sued, are we going to win? Oh, yeah, we'll win. We didn't do anything wrong. But somebody's liable to lob one at us. Or if we have a vaccine, somebody's going to drop over dead the next day. They're going to sue us. Well, is they going to be able to prove it's a vaccine? No, we think we've done all our tests. We've done everything right. And we think that this thing is safe. Okay, we're going to go forward. But you can't just say, get to somebody and say, well, I think we're liable to get sued. Oh, God, you got to listen to the attorney. And the idea where people said you got to listen to scientists, you listen to the scientist for their point of view. The scientists, they will, if they had it right, if you had their point of view, some of them, you'd stick everybody in a house and let the germs dance in the out on the street until they were gone. Well, for an economy this size, that's not practical, okay? Maybe it would be if it was smallpox, but it's not for this. And it hasn't been since day one. And yet that's what we're doing for whatever reason. But just because somebody's a scientist or a lawyer doesn't mean you listen to them, right? You listen to everybody's point of view, and somebody has to make the call. Hopefully the right guy or lady is making the call, right, John? I mean, that's how these things work. It's not just that the teachers feels unsafe going back. Fine, don't go back. You're not getting paid.
I'm absolutely with you on this, Tom. And, you know, the Tribune had a piece yesterday as, you know, things have unfolded down at Notre Dame with, you know, a rise in positive tests, that this should be a cautionary tale for other institutions that are getting the crazy notion that you can reopen and have face-to-face instruction. Well, to me, that's just completely wrong. I mean, my niece is in her, you know, third week down there as a freshman at Notre Dame, and she's on, you know, this 2-week lockdown. There have been absolutely no hospitalizations for any of these cases.
Yeah, none.
Which leads me to believe that, you know, nobody, at least in the student body, is sick enough to, you know, stay overnight in the infirmary or on a hospital someplace. So without that kind of data, I would say, well, maybe Notre Dame isn't a cautionary tale about what you shouldn't do. It's everybody should be doing this at some point, sooner rather than later, if you want your kids to be learning anything, I would say. If that were in any part of the equation, which it's clearly not been part of the discussion with the teachers' unions, the students, as always, I think with them, come last. The teachers come first. It's not about what the kids really need or what families really need. It's about what the teachers need. And I've had it with that outlook.
Well, but
I ruined my membership in some ways in the teachers' union for many years and heading a local too, because I see now all of my values are completely thrown out the window by what these people are saying and getting away with. Worse.
Well, it's gone from protecting everybody to being don't be sick near me.
Right. I'm the important person
here.
My health matters more than your kid's mental health or your kid's education. That's what I get paid to do, but don't talk to me about that now because I may get sick.
Like, but why do
you realize how asinine that sounds?
Is it just age, Jan, or what it is, but when I think when you and I go by the sub shop and we see people, you know, getting deliveries out on the sidewalk, you and I look through and see the kitchen and see 8 people in there standing asshole elbow making sandwiches without masks on. Or maybe they even do have masks on. They're not going to help in that kind of a closed area. I mean, does everybody just ignore that? It's okay for those guys to be sick, but not me? Those guys are probably sick in March, and they're over it.
And those people are pretty much invisible to the average person.
Yeah.
Like you say, I mean, unless you really go poke around looking for those people, you're not going to see them. You're not going to notice that they're not masked. You're not going to talk to them. You're not going to hear what's going on in their lives or whether they've been sick or felt sick and still had to go to work because they need the money. That's as old as the human race. You know, a lot of days you don't feel like going to work, but you don't get anything for staying home, so you go to work.
What percentage of the Hispanic community in Chicago is taking more, unless their building shut down, is taking a day off?
And they can't afford to.
No. What are they getting paid if they don't? It's
right.
And I'm going to say that if you went and did an antibody test in that area, that you'd find all kinds of people that have had it. I don't know what percentage. But it just boggles my mind that we're so selective in our thought process on this. I mean, those people can have it, just don't have it near me. I mean, you send at Notre Dame, you got 100 kids that have it or 200 kids that have it. You send them all home. Now, out of sight, out of mind, is that okay? They can have it at home, they're just not here?
That's what happened at Auburn last year.
I mean, but we've got all these places that I think you just ride it out there and see what happens. I mean, you've got the infirmaries, you got the hospitals. I suppose it could get to a point where you get overwhelmed. But so what? If half the students have it, then you want to send them home? Then that would be the good time. Have parents come pick them up. Have grandpa come pick them up. It's even better, right?
Notre Dame, I think, did the right thing. Purdue, too. I mean, it's two Indiana colleges that kind of stuck their necks out. But, Notre Dame has told their student body not to go off campus, not to go home for the weekend. You know, I did that a lot when I was a student there, when I felt like it. It was easy and cheap to come home for a day or two. They don't want people visiting the campus. You know, they're trying to do everything they can to make it a sealed environment,
which I think
and
is,
yet have some kind of college experience and face-to-face instruction as much as possible. And I would think that would be the goal for every school.
I think it's a goal until you find out what you're dealing with, but you can't do that forever.
It's a very expensive luxury to just say we're going to do it this way and, not do it for as many hours a week either, by any stretch, as you would do it if you had face-to-face instruction. That's what's really galling to me.
70 grand, buddy.
Hour for hour the same as what people actually put in the classroom. It isn't that way at all. It's like one-third.
70 grand.
Actual teaching hours, so.
70 grand, send your check, send your kid, maybe we'll send him home, but send us the 70. See, S&P futures up 28, NASDAQ futures up 118. Be right back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Allies, Mr. Matt Weber, and Mr. David Allen with us as well. S&P futures down up 28 and S&P's up 120. Been here pretty much all morning. Last night we were up, but not this much. But we the AstraZeneca news hit that the government was going to try and fast-track the AstraZeneca. Why they picked them and the other guys, I don't know. We were talking about that earlier. Dow futures up 273. In Europe, we've got the DAX up 309. That's 2.4%. FTSE up 106, that's 1.8%. CAC around up 104, that's 2.1. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 65.3%. Shanghai up 4, call that flat. Hang Seng 437, 1.7. Bonds, little change. We would think they'd be, rates would be going up with all this stuff, but they're not. 10-year still 0.363. The Bund minus 0.49. Japan positive 0.02. Oil, up 42 cents, 42.76. So they're right between this, I'm going to say 39.5 to 44 in the upside range. Been there for a while. Brent up 45 cents, 44.80. Natural gas up 5 cents, 249. RBOB gas up 3 cents now, $1.31. Gold up 15 bucks to 19.61. Silver up 45 cents, 27.18. This is interesting. Copper a new high here, 2.95. It's getting nudging toward 3. It made this kind of move before and it went right back down, but dollar is weaker this morning. Maddie, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still off to a good start on the area expressways coming in on the Edens and Kennedy. Eisenhower is remains an issue, though. It's been closed since about 2 this morning due to a shooting on the outbound side between Damon and California that happened overnight on I-290, so that is still closed for police activity. Inbound side is open, but if you're going to get on the I-290 on the outbound side, you have to get on west of Damon at Western or anywhere west of that, so keep that in mind. On the south side expressways, no issues to report. Side streets are looking good out there, so off to a good start, except for that outbound I-290, and then one other crash in the area, northern suburbs, Long Grove, Route 53 at Illinois 83, there is a crash. Weather today, sunny and warm today, a high of 92, right now it's clear, and 75 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot with a high of 115, right now it's clear, and 91. In sports, the Cubs were able to salvage Game 3 of their three-game set against the White Sox, winning 2-1 yesterday. Sox, of course, won the first two games on Friday and Saturday. So the Cubs win 1 out of 3 and go 5-7 on the 12-game homestand. They're at Detroit tonight. White Sox are off tonight. They'll host the Pirates tomorrow. Diamondbacks lost to the Giants 6-1. Chief.
David, how are you?
Fine.
Crazy stuff today, huh? Well,
how about over the weekend? Jose Abreu?
Yeah.
6 home runs in 3 games.
Guy's pretty good. Now he's got somebody behind him. He's even better. He got 6 home runs off 6 different pitchers.
Three, never happened in White Sox history.
In a 3-game series to have 6 home runs.
Never.
That's a long time.
About 140 years.
Yeah, it's a long time. We were going to talk a little inflation today, about our non-inflation. Many of you have been checking your gas bills lately?
I have not.
Don't tell me to let the wife do all that.
She does the bills.
Why did I feel you... You said, I'll take the garbage out, you do the bills, like the first day of the day of the wedding or something.
That's right. Standard deal.
I'm looking at my... Well, I pay for mine, I pay for the one downstairs, right? We're talking about an apartment, right? A small apartment. Not small, but, an apartment. The gas customer charge. Guess how much, David? No gas.
I don't know if I've ever paid a gas bill. I have no... I mean, gasoline, of course, for the car, but never paid a gas bill in a home. I mean, maybe in an apartment a while back, but I don't remember.
What are you, all electric?
No, I have partners that pay the bills.
I see. Okay. You guys talk about useless in this conversation. Anyway.
I'm sorry, I'm you don't want me to make something up. I've never, other than, a couple times college and then one time, in my adult life in an apartment, I don't think I've ever paid a gas bill.
Well, anyway, if you would have, or if you ever looked, Betty, you would find in the last decade, because some people, maybe have used less electricity and maybe less gas. You have more efficient units and so forth. That over time, the utilities have relentlessly ground down our idiot investors, are not individual people. I won't call idiots, but our idiot government, to the point now where it doesn't matter whether you use any or not. So last month, for me and the girl downstairs, I paid both of the bills. Easier that way. I didn't have to worry about somebody not paying them. The customer charge per month now in an apartment, and hers is a garden, so it's like, 3 rooms, $50 without using gas 1. They don't care if you ever use any gas now. Same with the electrical bill. The delivery charge, they don't care if you put up a windmill.
Well, aren't there lawsuits? That's Commonwealth Edison, right?
Well, that would be... People's Gas would be the gas.
Or People's Gas. I don't know. I know there's lawsuits, pending statewide against Exelon and Commonwealth Edison. And, I don't know who else, but as far as, gouging and getting, lawmakers to say, oh, yeah, here's a 3% raise or whatever. I do know that.
But, I mean, say a guy like... say you're somewhat careful. I won't say cheap. Say careful. So you move out to, a 3-acre farm. Not that you know how to farm or I know how to farm, but Matty Smile, we'd let him farm something. Matty, what could you farm, anything?
No, I grew a plant once, but it died shortly thereafter.
So you couldn't even, you couldn't even do, peppers and some anyway.
Well, Jill does.
Oh, okay. Well, Jill, she's good at everything, obviously. You guys compliment each other. She's good at everything, and you don't know anything. But anyway, but that's okay. That's a fair deal.
He's the golfer in the family.
He's the golfer. That's right. So you put up a huge windmill, or you put up all this solar collector. It used to be, oh, man, you take money from the electric company. They're way ahead of you. It'll be $100 for the hookup. In case your windmill ever conks and you want your refrigerator to keep working, they don't care if you ever use it now. Anyway, so I go back 2 years, my checkbook, and it's in the summer, where I don't, obviously wasn't using any gas. 2 years ago, it was $40. So they've bumped it 25% in 2 years. The customer charge. That's pretty darn good, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit inflated since since our supposed CPI is only, what, 1.6, 1.8?
Yeah. No.
And Neil Kashkari gets on there and says we have, you know, even the inflation expectation figure is way low. We just keep trying to boost it up to 2 and we can't get there.
But just as a, if you were sitting,
I mean, it's laughable. You got to admit.
If you and I and Maddie and with the rest of the people on the show, we sat around and put, this wouldn't even take an adult beverage. This would take an adult beverage and, like, we'd have to be backed up with shots. And if I'm the guy from People's Gas going, now here's the deal, guys. You know, we're charging for this gas and we're making money hand over fist, but I don't like the way this is going. What do you mean? Well, people are using less gas, these new furnaces, blah, 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 and, you know, people are insulating and this kind of other thing, and we're using a little less gas. What if we were to just get every apartment in the city to pay us $50 before they even started? I'd say you and Kenny and the rest of the guys that are on the show would say, you're out of your mind, Chief. You could never pull that off. No, nobody would ever go for that. They're not that stupid. Here it is, 8 years later, they are that stupid.
No, I mean, I took a ride yesterday for an hour and a half from my house to Pleasant Prairie, you know, Kenosha Outlets, yeah. You know, to buy one item, which, by the way, was packed with lines, literally socially separated 6 feet out the door for Under Armour, which is not, you know, such a wanted brand right now. There were 12 deep waiting. And on the way, I'm watching, and it's a 24 or 25-mile trip from my house to Kenosha. And I was just stacking up the unleaded gas without car wash prices along the way. In that 26-mile stretch, I saw a low of 199.9 and a high of 245.9. And the 245.9 was literally less than 1 mile away from the 199.9.
Well, location, location.
Location, they were on the same side of the road, 3/4 of a mile apart.
Well, there must have been an entrance. I mean, look at the place by us, where Manny Weber, and I think he's proud of having the highest price in the city, North and Elston. I mean, he's
crazy. And that, oh, is it a Marathon?
No, it's a BP.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking Foster and Elston.
No, BP, yeah.
There's a Marathon there right off the highway. It's always been 20, 30 cents higher than anywhere.
You know the story with the BPs. This is our antitrust department. When Sinclair, you remember Sinclair, Dino the Dinosaur?
Yes, of course. Well, yeah, with the dinosaur.
They weren't even in the top, what it used to be the, what they used to call them, the eight something-somethings, the oil companies? The eight, God, what was the name? There was a name for them. They were the eight big guys, and there was all the rest little
right.
guys. Believe it, were really Exxon and Chevron.
Did Exxon buy Sinclair?
No, what happened was ARCO, Atlantic Richfield, which is like number eight of the eights, buys Sinclair. And there's, they go after him big time. Now this is number eight buying number 12, you know, or whatever it was. And they go, well, that's not that big of a deal, I guess, but you gotta get rid of your gas stations. We're not gonna give ARCO, cause they were active here in Chicago area. We're not gonna let them get the Sinclair gas stations. So they sell them to BP, who at that time really didn't have much of a foothold in the U.S., British Petroleum. So then, like, a couple of years later, BP buys ARCO, which is interesting. So the place that they had to divest to be able to buy this little place, now they essentially buy both of them, BP. And a couple of years later, they buy Amoco.
Right, yeah, then it became a giant. That I remember.
Which would have to be...
Now they're bringing back the Amoco name.
Well, the Amoco was what, Standard Oil of Indiana, basically.
Right.
The Exxon was Standard.
And there was also, yeah. I don't know if it was exactly integrated in, but there was the Standard Oil of Ohio as well.
That's Chevron.
Yeah.
And Exxon was Standard Oil of New Jersey. And Standard Oil of California was who? Was that Union 76? I'm not sure about that, who they were.
Union Oil.
Yeah, Union. And they got bought by somebody as well. But so anyway, I'm looking at our CPI report from the other day. A utility pipe gas service in the last year It's down 0.3%. How can that be when mine's up 25 in 2 years?
It's not.
I mean, what are they,
it's not.
I mean, this is outstanding. The anything you want here, I can tell you what it is. Well, the usual, the one, of course, that I beat up. Apparel is 2.69 of your basket, right? So it's 2.7% of your basket. The medical equipment, well, the full medical thing is like 7%. Do you know anybody who even begins to spend as much on clothes as they do? Medical care services, 7.3%. There's another part here for medical equipment, so, or medical stuff. So you might be 8.5. This is new. It was lower than this. You know anybody who spends a third of what they do on their insurance and medical stuff that they do on clothes?
No. It's ridiculous. I mean, it just, and then you factor in, you know, a lot of those numbers are, you know, swayed by seasonal factors and whatever. Who knows where they came from? And yeah, it's a disguise.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of this stuff, and it's some of the bigger ones here. We got tobacco at 0.6, which I guess, of course, Maddie Weber, alcoholic beverages away from home, 0.5%. Maddie, what do you think?
I'll take the over on that.
I would too. wine at home, 0.26. Alcoholic beverages at home. Alcoholic beverages total, only 1%. I'm going to say I'll take the over on that, too, just saying.
I'll tell you, speaking of alcohol, my son drove in from Denver, so we had an occasion to do outdoor dining first time. Second time I've done it in 6 months, and it was the first time he's done it since March with his wife. And we went to this sports pub. We, of course, didn't go inside. They had some well-spaced picnic tables outside. I tried White Claw. I thought it was really good. I think that's a big disruptor.
What is it?
It's a sparkling seltzer with some kind of flavor, but there's hardly any sugar added, 2 grams and 16 ounces or whatever, and there's just a little tiny spike, I forget, 4% or 2% malt alcohol. Oh, my God, it's just absolutely disrupting the beer. Maddie, you must know about it. Your generation loves this stuff.
Yeah, White Claw was a big one and still is, and it caused Budweiser, it caused Corona, it caused a bunch of the beer companies to make their own
versions. Yeah, Constellation Brands is going huge into
it.
They're trying to, because they invested in Canopy Growth to, you know, spike seltzer with some CBD where it's allowed. I mean, it's huge.
Is this the generation?
It's not as filling as beer, and so the ladies like it. Guys probably still would prefer beer, but if you're like on a boat or if you're, you know, doing something outside, it's a nice refreshing drink as opposed to something heavier like a beer.
It's like a LaCroix or bubbly, but you just get that tiny little spike of alcohol, but it's bubbly. I thought it was uplifting, and I'm not a black cherry drinker. That was the only flavor they had, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah, there's a new one called High Noon that's taking over the world. That White Claw was sort of last year's, and High Noon is this year's. And it's vodka instead of the malt, but it's the seltzer, and it tastes really good.
Is this just
very low alcohol content?
Exactly, very low alcohol content. I think it's like 4%, like same as White Claw.
Yeah, I think that's what the White Claw was.
Was this generation's wine cooler? Same thing.
I'd say, yeah, kind of. I mean, it's...
This one, I think, is here to stay. All the big, you know, and I'd heard about it, and my son, you know, who's 30-something, and he said, you know, hey, Dad, try this. You know, I think you're going to actually like it, and I did.
Wasn't the same thing that they did with a wine cooler? Was essentially a sparkling water with some wine in it?
Yeah, like a spritzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar. I think with these, they have, it's more water-based, and so there's just very, very low calories, which is why the ladies like it. I don't know what the calories were on wine coolers, but they kind of went away.
Well, you know what? Interesting part why they went away is people's wine taste changed. Real quick story, because everyone wants to talk about golden stuff with David, like everybody always calls in and asks him about. New York harvests a boatload of grapes. I mean, probably there's almost as many grapes grown there as around California. At least there used to be, right, David? But they're very sweet. And people's wine taste used to be towards sweeter wine. And as soon as it changed, they decided, okay.
Which I can't imagine, because sweeter wine is disgusting.
Well, but they put that in the wine coolers. But then they made the wine coolers a little too sweet, too. But, I mean, it's made from grape juice. I mean, it's just different. I mean, the climate's different. But a lot of the New York wines, the Concord grapes, went in wine coolers. Right, David?
Yeah.
And that was one way they were able to deal with that for a while, is people's tastes in wines turn a lot drier. And now it's probably dry again. I mean, it's still real dry, I think, right? I haven't had a New York wine in ages. I mean, anyway.
It's the cheaper stuff. My I actually have a little bit of insight because my brother-in-law does all the corrugated boxes and some of the bottle filling for two or three vineyards in New York. And it's cheaper stuff, but it's still, even though the tastes have changed, and you're right, they've gone much more to the California type, you know, stuff, and even stuff, you know, from Argentina and, you know, Australia and, of course, Europe and the like. But it's still a really, really big business. I saw him the other night, and I asked him, I said, you know, how's your business with the COVID and this and that and the other? And he said, you know, they're having trouble getting labor because it's still labor intensive, and it's, you know, in the factory to put all this stuff together. But said, if you can find labor, I can ship all that I can. They'll send it to me, and I'll ship boxes 24 hours a day.
Yeah, well, the labor stuff. All right, David, we'll assume the same people that call in every week when you're in. What do you make of gold here? It's had kind of a pause. Dollar had a little bit of a rally. Now it's going back down again today. So we're seeing gold inching back up. Is there, other than the top of the room, is there a spot to sell Apple here? Obviously, if you had your old-time chart, you'd have to be off your chart at this point.
Watch it. You know, I think today, I'm not positive about this, but I heard this, that today is the date of record for, you know, getting the stock split. And that's going to affect, you know, options and, you know, the people buying fractional shares and all that stuff. But I think the actual split takes place next week. The interesting to see, I mean, just with, you know, the last couple of days rally, I heard, you know, if you'd bought it, you know, you now with the split, you get three extra shares. So people are going to be the Johnny-come-latelys and run after it. I don't want to sell it yet. But I think it's way, way overvalued. I've been wrong, no doubt about it, since, you know, low 400s. I've been wrong. I never saw this last $100 coming. But I'd say at this point, you know, let it run. See what happens when it splits next week. Of course, all the, you know, folks that can't afford, you know, $500 and change, they're going to spend $125. But after that, we'll see what happens after that, after the split. Everyone's counting on it, you know, taking off, because all the, you know, small players will come in and boost it. We'll see.
Well, if there is some semblance of a vaccine and the economy perks up a little bit and all this money's in the system, if the velocity would increase at all, David, and this is a very technical question, it's the money in the system times the amount of times it circulates, meaning the velocity, if that inches up a bit, Where do we see the CPI, the real CPI, going?
The real CPI, I believe, is nicely over 4% now, and I really think that if you really take apart your baskets and compare it to 4 or 5 years ago, I think that, you know, we're going to be 5% a year.
I think it's light. I think it's more than that.
Yeah, I definitely think we'll exceed 5%.
Well, when it happens, how bad do you think the Fed's going to react? They'll be slow, and then they'll panic like they've done every other time.
Depends what the, you know, if it was today, I don't think they're going to panic at all. If there's a true vaccine and therapies and prophylactics and plasma and T cells and all that stuff, I think they'll take care of it. I think there'd be a far different reaction. You know, I'm going to pick a time period that nobody knows. In March of 2021, with treatments and vaccines under their belt and 5% inflation, then if it was today, I don't think they'd do anything.
Okay, what if it's 1% in a month, which I think it's going to be? They get that print.
One percent in a month. I'm not getting what you're asking.
Well, the last 2 months have been 0.65, which times 12
is... No, I don't think they'll do anything.
Okay, well, that's, I mean... So, in other words, they'll...
I just don't think at this point they've said, we're not even thinking about raising rates.
That tells
me that the time period they believe in the recovery is so slow, and they've said that in the minutes, that until they're comfortable that the economy is really, really growing again, they're not going to do anything. Inflation, no inflation.
We only have a minute, David. How is it that with all the literature that I've read going back 200 years from places, why do they think that there is a connection between pouring money into the system? We could have inflation and never grow at all, hence the term stagflation.
No, I get it. Well, why I get it. You know, and they have the Japanese example, you know, for 30-some years to learn off of, but, you know, I think the pandemic has changed their minds.
Well, I think it should for a while, but... So, any place here, is there any day this week where we're up like this, you might say, we're going to get a turnaround, that we're going to have a blow-off top, or we've been getting close?
It's a bifurcated market totally. The S&P and the NASDAQ are the digitization of the economy. The Dow and the Russell show the sluggishness of the economy and the small businesses and the like. You want to be bearish, you sell a 3-4% rally in Russell. You want to be bullish, you can't buy a rally. If you get one, I don't know when and where, 3-4% break in the NASDAQ, you buy that.
Well, I think you're probably right. So there's no hope for my GM this week. Tesla to the moon and GM nowhere.
GM, I'm sorry, I missed that.
GM and Ford nowhere, Tesla to the moon.
The way it looks.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Nuts.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely nuts.
David, take care, buddy. S&P futures up 28, NASDAQ futures up 126. Talk about it tomorrow morning, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.